walking
of let the music play.
Myself for about 4 hours now. Love is really a hurting thing.
Something you want to hear, send me a text. 617-240-5372. DJ D.
You got his woman over there.
91.5.
But mine's at home. What time is it? Damn, it's 12:45. I think I'm gonna walk up here and see what's going on and leave this discotheque. There's always something going on in there. What becomes of a broken heart? Oh, baby. Oh, this looks like a place. Everybody's going in and step on up here. One ticket, please. Lord have mercy, everybody's here.
Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, she's at home.
Yeah, she's at home. Yeah, she's at home.
Let the music play. I just wanna dance the night away. Yeah, right here, right here, where I'm gonna stay.
Let the music play. Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen right now. I'm out of here because my girl Molly showed up. I didn't know that she was coming in today. So anyway, chatting with Molly's coming up. This is DJ D. I'm out of here. WMFO 91.5. We'll catch you next week. And Molly will be out of town for the summer. So I'll be covering her next week, she tells me. So that's great. Looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody. Catch y'all later. Love you.
say the only way to make a change, you better be on time and stand in line with a thousand other people. And it's a crime for you to opt out. Yeah, be at the polls and know exactly which hole to fill. You better learn how to participate.
We got a place for those that don't support the state.
We can trade you a number and a cell for your name and your face.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is 12:07. This is DJ Molly. You're listening to Chatting with Molly on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Shout out to DJ D on DJ Music Express for a great hour. He'll be taking over the show this summer because this is my last week. So happy Chatting with Molly Ultimate episode. I have two very special guests today with me. Guest, do you guys want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, I am Aubrey. Thank you, Molly, for having me here today. I'm excited to just chat with you.
Amazing.
Hi, Molly. My name is Claire, and this is my second time on the show, and I'm so excited to be here.
Amazing. Yes, Claire O'Donnell is a repeat guest. And yes, I live with both of these wonderful ladies, and one of them is her birthday. Yay. So Aubrey is turning 21 today. Very exciting. Obs, how do you feel as a 21-year-old?
I feel pretty much the same as I did before. But what's been really nice is I've got to spend the morning just with people who I love, and I made breakfast for all of them to just show them how appreciative I am of all their support that they've given me since I've gotten here to Tufts.
So nice. So in classic Chatting with Molly fashion, we'll start with our classic question. What did you guys have for breakfast? And Aubrey just kind of answered, but if you want to tell us more about like the actual food.
Yeah. And so in my house, so I live upstairs from Molly. Molly lives in the downstairs apartment, but we just discovered that we had a pancake griddle.
And oh, amazing.
So, yeah, and I've used it every week since this discovery.
really?
Yes.
Yeah. That's
so awesome. This morning, I made some banana chocolate chip pancakes and some bacon and some scrambled eggs and some berries, and it was lovely. And they're about 15 people there eating.
That is quite the spread.
Yeah.
Wow, good for you.
I can attest, it was really yummy.
Wow.
Enjoyed.
Amazing.
Enjoyed the pancakes.
So, Claire, was that your breakfast as well?
That was my breakfast as
nice.
Well.
Nice.
But you forgot to mention she bought her first legal drink this morning.
Oh, yes.
We made some mimosas.
Very exciting. Making some mimosas. Mm-hmm. Very fun. Wow, so That really beats my breakfast. I had yogurt and a banana and some peanut butter.
Is that your just typical breakfast?
It really depends. I would say I like to rotate between yogurt, egg something, and oatmeal. Mm-hmm. Just so I don't get tired of the same thing.
Valid.
Because breakfast is really what brings me out of bed, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Like, if I didn't eat breakfast, I would just be like, oh, I'll just sleep until right before. But no, it's like, no, I gotta get up.
I feel it's like breakfast is the one meal of the day. I'm so happy having the exact same thing every single
morning. Really?
Yeah.
What is your typical breakfast?
My typical breakfast is some yogurt. I guess I change up what berries I use, but like with berries, maybe a little bit of peanut butter and honey. And I'm so happy with that every morning.
Amazing.
I like to change up my breakfast in the morning.
Yeah.
I have a variety, but I always make sure to get up like an hour and a half before I have to be anywhere.
Oh my
just
gosh.
Just so, yeah, I can make sure to have this huge, long, luxurious breakfast before I start my day.
That's incredible.
Amazing. Yeah.
I give myself probably 15 minutes for breakfast.
Yeah, when I have the time, I like to make like a really intricate egg something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit what we're all doing here, because we're kind of all in limbo. We're all done with our finals. Mm-hmm. We're all doing weird stuff this summer, but we're just kind of hanging out for now. So what have you guys been up to?
Well, I went home for the weekend, so that was really nice. Mm-hmm. I got a chance to be with my mom for Mother's Day.
Amazing.
See my dad and my dog. My brother's still at school, and that was really nice. So I just got here last night. So
nice.
Now this is my first time being in this space without having a ton of stuff to be doing all the time. And like, I'm kind of feeling this weird, like somewhere I'm like, this is wrong. Like,
right.
There's something that I must need to be doing at this moment.
Totally.
So I'm still chilling into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we played cards last night. Mm-hmm.
So
and
nice.
That was really fun. Nice wholesome Cards Against Humanity, Codenames.
Oh, Codenames is so fun.
I got caught cheating.
Yeah, she did.
What'd you do?
One of our friends, we were playing together and he kept saying the death word and they're gonna guess it next, so I texted him because he was on his phone watching basketball.
My gosh.
But don't worry, this wholesome man outed me for cheating in front of everyone.
Oh my gosh.
So I guess I cheat in card games.
So we all have our vices.
So same thing. I've been feeling a little bit lost not having a schedule, and I feel like the days move a lot faster when you don't necessarily have things slowing them down. But I've been done since the first day of finals week, so I've really just been hanging out. We had a beautiful week. I like went on the Prez lawn and like threw the frisbee, and then this weekend I went to visit my great aunt Agnes, and she's a trip and a half. And
what is she like?
Oh my goodness, she's a little firecracker. She in her lifetime has been a nun, but then like realized she didn't really want to be a nun anymore for various reasons, and so dropped out of the convent.
Okay.
And then so now we call her great aunt Agnes, the fallen nun. But we just hung out and spent some good time together.
So nice. Mm-hmm. What do you guys like? Do you have like special things you like to do?
We just like chatted and went out to dinner. We saw the movie Palms, which is about these old ladies in a retirement community who formed a cheer squad. It was really wholesome.
Oh, with like Diane Keaton. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I was worried at first when I was looking at the trailers because I was like, I don't know if this is going to be offensive to an older lady. Like,
right.
I don't know. But she's the one who wanted to see it, and she was loving it. She was cracking up so hard during the movie. So I'm like, okay, we picked a good one.
Yeah, super relatable for her, I'm sure.
Yeah. You're so cute.
What about you, Molly?
What have I been doing? A whole lot of nothing, honestly. So this summer, I'll be working at my summer camp, and I am a supervisor. And so there's honestly, like, so many logistical things I have to do. I have had to send out, like, a ton of emails to a bunch of staff. I have to have, onboarding Skype calls with all of my staff, which means, like, 30 people.
Right.
Wow.
Between now and June 2nd. Wow. So I am just like scheduling those, trying to fit in these like 30-minute blocks within my day. And then obviously practice, lots of frizz. Mm-hmm. Just kind of chilling, trying to read, catch up with people. Honestly, just like a lot of email I've been doing.
Tell us a little bit about why you like decided to work at your camp this summer and like your thought process behind that.
Great question. I was like, okay, also, the three of us were all in Madrid together. Which is huge.
That's so true.
And I was kind of going through this process in Madrid because the application process for camp was in like November. And then I had to like basically decide It was in like late October, and I had to decide by late November. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a really hard process. I looked into a ton of other things, went like super far down a path, got like a few offers, and then was like, no, I'm going to take this summer for myself and go to the one place that I love more than anything and like do a summer that's going to be really enriching for myself and not worry about career goals. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's something that kind of like haunts me all the time. And so, yeah, and it's just kind of the summer, my last like kind of opportunity to do that. And a ton of my friends are going back and I'll get to, yeah, I've like dreamed of being, I was on staff for like 3 or 4 years and I've always dreamed of being a supervisor and getting to kind of shape the culture and community of camp. So yeah, it's kind of
sounds like you're gonna have an awesome summer. Yeah.
Do you feel like your very time exciting. In Madrid informed like that path of not being on like the career?
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. I think so because you're like out of the normal world mm-hmm. that we're all in. But also, yeah, I wonder because Tufts isn't so like cutthroat, like everyone like internship and like there's a little bit of people trying to get internships, but it's not like crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's actually a good point. I wonder if I was like on campus whether I would have made a different decision. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I feel like I would have made the camp decision again because I would have been feeling like I was working so hard on campus that's like, oh, I definitely need a break during the summer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in Spain, I was like, oh, well, this is my break, you know? So maybe during the summer I should work, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you guys up to this summer? I think you have some very exciting things.
Well, this summer I am part of Tufts Global Research Assistant Program. Grap. And I'm going to grab and I'm going to be doing research with a Tufts professor in Uganda. We're conducting a study in schools right outside this big national park to see the impact of conservation education on kids' behavior and attitudes towards the environment. And I'm
that
super
is
excited.
So awesome.
I'm so excited. I'm
Have you done any like prep work with your PI?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm doing the project with a Harvard student. So I just met her and she seems really cool and I'm excited. And so we're going to start meeting up to like write the curriculum because we're planning two classes. There's like the conservation curriculum, but there's also a control class.
Got it.
And the control class is we're teaching a class on outer space. So I'm really excited about that
wow,
too.
Look at you, astrophysics
I need to learn
expert.
Stuff. I mean, it's really elementary school, so it'll be like planets, rocks. But I'm excited for that too. But the other class is on bats as non-bee pollinators, so I'm really excited because I think the whole thing is like they're really important for farming and other things, but they also have the conception of like carrying Ebola and other things. So like talking about like this is something that like benefits you and other things like that, and I'm really excited. Currently I'm in the process of like getting all my shots and things.
Oh my
I just
gosh,
got
tired.
It's so weird. I went to a travel clinic and they had like all these pamphlets and it was like bring home souvenirs not typhoid and it's like why
oh my god
why do you don't need a catchphrase for that
right you like have to get the shots you're not like marketing shots.
So I don't know why there's marketing for that but there is so that's and I just applied for my visa and so that's so all it's all happening
did you have to go it's to like happening. The Ugandan consulate is there a Ugandan consulate in Boston
I don't think so but so far it's all been online I might have to do stuff in person but got so it. Far it's all online
that's
which is
nice.
And before you can even apply for your visa, you have to get the yellow fever shot and have proof that you've gotten the vaccination, which I think is really smart that to even apply for a visa, you have to do that.
And how do you think that the kids' behaviors are going to change?
I don't know. I think it's really interesting. So the whole thing is we're conducting a pre-study and like a post-test. And basically the whole thing is the kids are going to be like, okay, you have these tokens. You can either put towards biscuits for the class or like we're going to come up with some tangible, like making bat boxes or something like that, you know? And like the idea is like both of those have benefits for the kids, but in very different ways. Mm-hmm. And like hopefully through the thing, they'll see that like while it's not biscuits for the class and a direct benefit, like putting money towards something that's conservation related will have a benefit.
Yeah. And I wonder if like what's going to be, so the bat boxes relate to the like bat education, but for the control, if you're going to see, is it also going to be bat boxes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Cool. So it's like, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
How long is the intervention going to be for?
So the whole program is 7 weeks. And so I think it's going to be like 4 or 5 weeks of classes. And like the first week, of course, we're like getting like consent from all the parents and like all that stuff. And what's also really cool is it's part of the Kasisi Project, which is a bigger organization. There's this big chimpanzee conservation organization. Mm-hmm. And then off of that is this nonprofit that basically their idea is that like for sustainable conservation, you need to be like aware of the needs and realities of the communities affected by it. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole like organization that's doing a lot of community outreach in lots of different ways. They have like a mobile health clinic. They have even some like microcredit like programs. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be really cool to like learn about all the different initiatives that they're doing. And like doing whatever they need help with, because I'm there 24/7.
Oh yeah. So. And so who do you live with?
I'm living at like a base camp, and I'm living with some other grad students doing research, two from BC that are coming around the time I'm coming. And then also there's this, do you know what Princeton in Africa is?
Yes.
I'm gonna live with some Princeton Africa fellows.
Those are like graduates of Princeton, not current.
No. It doesn't, you don't have to, it's a program sponsored by Princeton, but it's kind of like the Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
But like
sorry.
For 1 year.
Okay. But they're graduate. They're not undergrad.
Not undergrad. Got so it. Like me and Jackie, she's graduating from Harvard like right now.
Okay.
And so we're going to be the youngest.
And is she going through the grad program or just like?
No, I think she just got funding through Harvard and like knows the Tufts professor. So I'm really excited. Cool. It's going to be a wild summer. And I'm just like, I'm really kind of freaked out by how much like alone time I'm gonna have, because I'm just like, it's a 9 to 5, but then after 5 like I don't have Wi-Fi or anywhere to go, so like I'm gonna bring my guitar I'm gonna bring lots of books and like I'm gonna get to know the people there. Also we can like go chimp trekking, which is really cool.
What is that?
It's like where you like have a guide and you like go in the forest and like watch chimps and stuff.
That's so cool.
And I'm really, and just like there's also the girl who from Harvard knows some other Harvard students who are going to do their thesis research on like baboons or something. Mm-hmm. So like that'll be really cool to see like other work that people are doing. So yeah, nice. It's gonna be an adventure and a half. I'm
excited.
Dude,
that is so awesome. I'm so bummed for you.
It's gonna be incredible.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
What about you, Abby?
Yeah, what do you have to?
I am gonna be spending my summer in DC, and I'm working for this nonprofit sustainable agricultural company, and I'm going to be the farm fellow, so I'll just be in the dirt every day, like weeding, learning how to grow things, learning how to use sustainable farming practices, and it's a really small team, which I'm excited for, and I'll be living by DC, so I'll get to like experience the mall in the afternoons and go to all the museums, which are mostly free, but I'll be spending every day outside, which is what I'm most excited for.
That's so fun. Okay, first, who are you like living with, and what's that commute like? Because you're living in DC, but there's obviously not like big farms downtown.
Yeah. So the farm is actually in Alexandria, Virginia, but I've decided to live by GW's campus to be close in proximity to other college students. So I'm going to be living, one of my best friends here, her boyfriend goes to GW, so I reached out to him and I was like, do you have any friends? And he's also involved in Frisbee and like kind of their wilderness community there, so I'm like, he probably has friends that I would vibe with. So I'm living in this house of all men and their friends with this, my friend's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I think my room is like in the basement with no windows, but at least I'll be.
I know the feeling. It'll be okay.
Yeah. At least I'll be outside for the whole day.
Yeah.
And then the commute will be probably about like 35 minutes. And I've looked it up during the week of like traffic during the time that I'll be commuting. And it actually is not bad because the entrance to the highway is so close to GW. And then everyone else is commuting into the city where I'll be commuting
reverse
out. So it should be okay. And there's another tough student also working at the organization that I am. And so we're going to commute together. And he's going to be a sophomore this year. And I know nothing about him. So I'm excited to make a new friend and spend lots of time in the car together.
Yeah. And so you'll have a car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm doing a trek to Michigan to get my car and then doing a little road trip, driving back here, and then I'll drive back down to DC.
Oh, got it. So you're driving the car here and then down.
Yeah.
Two road trips.
Yeah. Very two road fun. Trips. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Wow. And having a car is going to be so nice. Yeah. Because then on the weekends, you can like go camping.
Exactly.
Like, do whatever you want. I know. So many options.
So many options. And one of my best friends lives, or she's going to be in Chapel Hill, which is only 4 hours away. So I'm excited to get to spend some time with her, which we haven't in a long time.
Yeah.
So that'll be great.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I would love to talk to you after this whole experience about the like sustainable farm practices that your farm uses, because I've been looking into like a lot of different like certifying bodies and the whole like organic stamp, I don't think does great things for the environment.
No.
And so, yeah, I'm like so interested to see, because the things that come to my mind are first just like crop rotation, just like making sure the soil is healthy.
Yep.
And then, honestly, unfortunately, it's like a lot of human labor also, just like weeding.
It really is. It's the fact that like whether you grow things conventionally or organically, you still face the same challenges. Right. So that makes it so that the organic farmers can use less tools to combat those challenges. And that's why the price of organic products is so much more expensive than conventional. And I think there should be a mix, and we should reassess what we're regulating with organics.
Right. And that whole like... Yeah, that whole like brand name, like organic, like stamp, it should hold more weight, because at this point it's like not even like meaning anything for people's lives or the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, organic farming or like sustainable farming, so fun. That's great.
Yeah. I'm excited to learn about their model, since they are a nonprofit and they have this school bus it was a school bus and now it's converted into this mobile market where they drive it into like places in DC where they don't have access to like sustainably healthy grown food.
Yeah.
And then you can use like your SNAP benefits, your WIC benefits, and your electron transfer card there. And so I hope to see that model and like maybe take it back to a place like Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you know my mom works for WIC?
I did not know that.
Yeah. My mom's like a WIC dietitian.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, we've talked about your mom being a dietitian before.
Yeah.
Wait, incredible.
So she's been working for WIC for a long time. Mm-hmm. We lived in Connecticut, and she worked in Connecticut and New Jersey, worked with like an elderly population, and then went back to WIC in Iowa City, and has been working there for like 18 years or however long. But yeah, it's so awesome because... Yeah, she like WIC checks stand for Women, Infant, Children, and they're given to low income, like people who qualify for food stamps. Also, and if you have a child like under 3 or you're a pregnant woman, get these benefits of like extra money for milk, extra money for yogurt, like things that kids need, and you can use those at the farmer's market, or all these other things. Cool. So it's like so awesome.
And so what does she do in her day to day?
Yeah. So she does a lot of things. Primarily is like counseling. So in order to collect your WIC checks, you need to meet with a dietitian so that you know, oh, your baby's like underweight, you should feed them whole milk. They're overweight, feed them skim milk. And so like going through health of the baby and what that means for your like dietary intake. Mm-hmm. So a lot of like counseling one-on-one, which is awesome to like give low-income people such good access to like expert knowledge. And then part of that is also leading like classes. So she does a whole class on breastfeeding, a whole class on making your own baby food for really cheap. You just like blend up some sweet potatoes. And she does a class on like going to the farmer's market, making sure you're like buying things that you can cook for your young children. And then they also go out to more rural parts of Iowa and do clinics there. And so, yeah, because Iowa City is where like the county is, like she works for the county, and so it's all centered there, but more rural parts don't have a like developed WIC program.
So
her day to day is like really meeting with people and like talking to women and stuff.
And does she have she's a registered dietitian?
Yep.
That's credentials. Cool.
Yeah. So she did an MPH for she like majored in biology or something undergrad, and then was like, I don't want to do biology.
Yeah, my girl.
Sounds similar.
I get that. Yeah.
And then like while she was doing this like environmental job, she interned with this dietitian part time, and she's like, oh my god, this is what I want to do. And then got her MPH, and then became a registered dietitian, and yeah, now works for WIC.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. I could see myself on a path like that.
Yeah.
Down the road.
And I asked a really long. Also, shout out to my dad. Hi, thanks for listening. Love you. But I talked to both my, and this is like not a dig on my dad, but I talked to both my parents a while ago and was thinking like, oh, if you guys like, if money was no object and like you could do whatever you want, like what would you have done? And my dad was like, I would be a basketball coach and a high school math teacher and like all this great stuff. And my mom was like, I would do what I'm doing because I like my job.
Oh my God.
And yeah, I think she really does enjoy her job. So yeah, and I'm happy to like, if you want to talk with her at any time, let me know.
Just
I have her number.
Book over to Iowa City.
Yeah,
not too far from Detroit.
Yeah, so that is awesome. Gosh, I just love agriculture.
It's so important. Yeah. Being in Iowa, like you see it every day.
Totally. And it's so horrible because I didn't actually have a love for that until I left Iowa. Mm. Honestly, like on my gap year, I went to Thailand and worked on an organic farm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, agriculture is so cool. And this whole time I've been living in the like heart of agriculture of the U.S. But it's hard because you see, like in Iowa City, there are tons and tons of farmers that have been displaced because of like getting bought out and or just like a system that has made that family farm not be able to sustain themselves.
But we're going to need people who like are from there and have those connections with those farmers because they feel so much distress for everyone that's supposed to be supporting them. And like we need people to be able to go in and have conversation and be like, look, I'm with you and I'm fighting for what you for what you need.
Right. And everyone, like we all eat 3 times a day. Or more. So the we all need to like fight for farmers. Like we rely so much on farmers and it's horrible like the stigma of like farmers being uneducated because that is like so untrue and they have so much knowledge about things that like we can't produce ourselves.
And just this inherent like feeling of what's happening in their fields. Like they know by like looking at one thing. Like it's not like they've learned it in a like they read a book about it or they like know like the theoretical knowledge about it. Like no, they like are in tune with what is going on.
Yeah.
And that's knowledge that you only gain from having that tradition of your like family passing this down and teaching you from the time you were little.
Right.
Which is wild.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh man, farming. I have like so next summer I would love to like go do workaway on a farm or woof. And that's just like, been on the docket. Mm-hmm. I actually wanted to woof for my gap year, but my parents were just a little bit more hesitant because I was so young and like they wanted a number to call, you know, like if something goes wrong, I just want like a program you're on that I can call a supervisor and like make sure you're okay. So I did more structured things, but
Yeah, I want to see how this summer goes, but I can see that might be my next move because often for like apprenticeship programs on farms, you need the whole growing season, but we being in school only have like half of that. And so taking the opportunity to do that and continue to be outside working in the dirt is
so
lovely.
Yes. And my really good friend from high school, Maggie, has like, she's starting work like August 1st or something. So she has maybe like a month and a half that she's not doing anything. And her boyfriend are going to Oregon and just it's like 2 hours north of Portland in the middle of nowhere, Oregon. And they're just farming with this like elderly couple.
Oh my goodness.
And they're just gonna like help out on the farm.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Our friend, Galia, she did that with her boyfriend. I think maybe 1 or 2 summers ago now.
Oh my gosh,
but they
I had no idea.
Yeah, they just went to Montana and they spent like, I think a month there, a month and a half, and they road tripped out there from the East Coast and just the pictures, it was incredible. And they, like same thing with just like an older couple and they housed both of them. And it's crazy thinking Montana seems so far away to me then. And now like 2 of my family members are going to be living in Montana for the summer. I'm like, now I have this like connection to this place that I once thought was so far away.
Totally.
Which is wild.
So who's living in Montana and what are they doing?
Yeah. My sister currently lives there. And
oldest sister or quad
older,
sister?
Older. Yeah. Okay. And she works for ClassPass.
No way.
Yeah. And she absolutely loves it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So my brother's girlfriend used to work for ClassPass.
Really?
What is
ClassPass? What location?
In New York.
Oh, New York. Okay.
Yeah.
So ClassPass is, it's technically like a tech startup, but it's not, that's what they categorize themselves as, but it's not really. And basically, you can buy a membership to ClassPass, a gym membership, mm-hmm. instead of to like one specific gym. Mm-hmm. And then ClassPass has bought out classes, like different types of classes, like cycling, yoga, whatever you can think of, mm-hmm. in various gyms around the world. And then with this membership, you can use your like credits to go to any class.
Oh, that's so cool.
Anyway.
It's kind of mm-hmm. like a subscription service mm-hmm. okay. That you pay a monthly fee to ClassPass, and then you can go to SoulCycle. You can mm-hmm. go to this, go to that.
And she is in charge of like developing those relationships with new gyms and trying to get their classes. And it helps that she is an athlete, because she can go and do the class and then talk to the people after that. And she loves that, and they love that. They're like,
That's so fun.
We're seeing employees of this company actually coming in and doing our class, and it's like much more convincing for them to sign on with the with like ClassPass to sell their classes.
So she's like doing branches in Montana. She's like,
she travels like all around. They have this thing, if you've worked there at ClassPass for 6 months, then they'll put you at any one of their locations. You can go for any amount of time at any of their locations, and they'll help you find housing, and then you work on like developing relations there. So she just spent like a month in San Francisco because they have an office there. Whoa. And she can come back to New York if she wants to.
That's so cool.
It's pretty cool. She's so happy, and she never thought, like, she studied like behavioral economics in college and was like, maybe I'll get my PhD, I don't know, but she's so happy, and I'm so happy for her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. And so what other siblings?
Yeah, my quad brother Christopher is going to go out and live with her for the summer and just try to like pick up a job. Apparently the job market is just flourishing there. So it'll be pretty easy for him to pick up a summer.
Heck yeah.
And isn't Maggie there too?
Yeah, our friend from abroad mm-hmm. works on this like dude ranch. She's like, oh my God, quintessential like cowgirl. It's wild.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to go at the end of summer. I'm going to visit all three of them.
Oh, and that'll be awesome. Wait, when are you, like, after the farming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my internship ends on the 9th. But my subletter is like going to be in my room till like September 1st. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well,
I do know your subletter.
HP, shout out to you.
Yeah, shout out HP.
So I'm going to hopefully go for the end, like a few weeks at the end of August.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, that's so great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The tough thing about camp is it's like my whole summer.
Really?
It's like 10 weeks. And then I do wilderness.
Yeah.
So it ends August 11th. And then training starts August 15th, which is a crazy
time. That's wild. And who's your co this year?
His name is Chris Duyos. Oh my gosh, I need to text him. We were supposed to like get lunch. I hope he's still around. he's a sophomore, mm-hmm. was support staff last year. And we're a camping trip, which means we do not backpack. So
that's a thing.
Is that new? So we started last summer. It was the first one, and there was only one last year, and there's only one trip this year. And so we'll be at a base camp, and then support staff will come pick us up, and we'll do little day hikes, mm-hmm. and then they'll bus us back to our campsite, and we'll just relax. I'm so excited.
And that's so much more accessible for so many people, because like going on the backpacking trips is so hard.
It's so hard.
And like everyone can't do it.
Yeah. And so my trip last year was very hard. Mm-hmm. I loved my group, but they were all signed up for a hard trip because they're like, oh, we have a lot of camping experience. Mm-hmm. I feel very fine in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not afraid of bugs. I can cook food on a stove, which was all true. They were all super troopers with the wilderness. But hiking ability, mm-hmm. not incredibly strong.
Whoa.
And so they were just like struggling. I mean, a few of them were like champions and mm-hmm. like amazing, like leading the pack. But like four of them were just like really struggling. Mm-hmm. And so I just knew I wanted an easier trip because we spent like 12 hours hiking every day. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, we had to take so many breaks. And so we would get to camp, make dinner so fast, and go to bed. And I just really wanted that time to like hang.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm so excited
for
the camping.
Goodness.
Hopefully, it'll be smoother. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And don't know your first years yet?
No.
Okay.
I think we get those like after training. Like, basically, like 4 days before arrival day.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. So this summer, the coordinate team will do all of that. Mm-hmm. They'll figure out trips, because I don't think the first years are like even signed up yet.
No, I don't think so either. They only on May 1st had to choose what college they're going to.
Exactly. Yeah, we're like 15 days out. So, so the coordinate team will assign all that, and I'm pretty excited.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, and I also have this little sense of like, I didn't do an amazing job of being there for my first years when I was abroad. Mm-hmm. I think I like gave it my all on the trip and I did what I could. And when I got back, it was like, did what I could. But I'm excited that hopefully I can be super present mm-hmm. this time around.
Yeah. That'd be easier yeah. when you're not a 6-hour time
zone. Exactly. Yeah, away. And like going through my own struggle of like transitioning to Spain yeah. and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. Do you guys want to talk about Spain?
Yeah, let's do it.
Amazing. So what was, do you want to tell everyone about like the program you guys were on, your experience, living, overall feelings?
Yeah. Well, we did the Tufts in Madrid mm-hmm. program. And so there were like maybe, it was Tufts and Skidmore. Mm-hmm. So it was like maybe 30 of us.
Yeah, 35.
It was pretty, it wasn't super huge, but for the most part, all of our classes were like Tufts classes. Mm-hmm. Like they were set up specifically for us. We had a program center. They set up our host families. They gave us like money for lunch. And it was really, it was a good program. I liked yeah. how structured it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't like how it was like kind of a bubble. Like okay. it was easy to like just hang out with mm-hmm. other Tufts students mm-hmm. and not really integrate with the Spanish community, even though there were mentors.
Yeah, which was really I was good. Gonna say, even though you guys had yeah, like all these Spanish true. People around you.
One of our mentors texted me happy birthday today in Spanish.
Oh,
I was like, my
nice.
Heart.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going back this summer. So I'm
you
really
are?
Excited about that.
What?
Yeah.
When are you going to Spain?
So my program this summer is only 7 weeks. So I'm done third week of July.
Oh my gosh.
And so then Tufts is paying for my flights. So I was like, I had a layover through Europe. So I was like, can I just have a 2-week layover? And they were like, sure. So I'm going.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to Spain for a week. And then I'm meeting up with my mom in France for a week. So I still haven't texted my host family, but I really should do that. And my friends. But yeah, so hopefully
Claire
I'm going to go visit
O'Donnell.
My host family.
That
and
is
friends.
So fun.
And then maybe go to Mallorca. So.
Wow. Oh my God.
I'm really excited.
That's
yeah.
amazing. And okay, Claire was concussed at the end of the semester,
yes.
mm-hmm. so she didn't get to like travel.
That is very true.
Yeah, you didn't
I
get to travel.
Yeah,
around,
I was
so.
Very sad about that.
Some nice,
so,
just like chill
yeah,
time travel.
Yeah, I'll be excited for that. That'll be really
wow.
good and go back to. But yeah,
yeah,
it was incredible just to like have free time and just like a different pace of life
yeah.
altogether.
Yeah.
So true.
Totally.
Like I'm totally back to speed walking everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Now. It
yeah.
didn't last.
Yeah,
long.
That was hard to break for sure.
Yeah.
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 I actually decided to not be pre-med, kind of like what, I don't know if it was similar for
yeah,
Molly, but just like
totally.
Being out of this bubble, not that Tufts is too extreme on like the career, but also being part of the pre-med community here is like really extreme
yeah.
at Tufts.
Yeah,
and,
you
like,
guys are,
yeah.
or not like, yeah, the pre-med
and
is definitely, I would say,
a grind,
the,
yeah.
yeah, the most
yeah.
grindy.
But being out of that bubble and seeing all, like having time to like do all of these other things in my life meant so much to me and brought me so much happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of switched and was like, okay, instead of being like on this narrow path of, okay, this is my only option. This is like what I want to do. Kind of realizing I can take time to decide if it's actually like the next step
yeah.
I want to take, especially because I do have all of these interests and like, no, I want to help people, but like that could be through agricultural stuff. It could be through so many different ways. Yeah. But when it, like my favorite part was, yeah, just having the time to, like, go to museums or sit in the park or, like, I don't know, read a book. But I also loved my host mom and family so much, and I really felt like I became a member of their family,
mm-hmm.
Which was incredible. And that is a way that I really got to be immersed in, like, a Spanish community
yeah.
is through the family culture
yeah.
with her.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And your
Spain.
Program.
Yeah, and my program was very different. It was all engineers, classes, mostly in English. I did do a homestay, and that was, like, fully Spanish. Yeah, I would say it wasn't quite as bubbly because the lack of structure. There, it just, like, there. We did one trip. We did one, like, one night trip to Valencia as a program, but then other than that there was like no structured anything. There were like, we did like a Thanksgiving dinner, and then we did like, some people could do like a salsa class, but it was at the same time of like our Spanish class, so it didn't really make any sense. But overall it was just kind of like, they just kind of plopped us there, which was really good for a lot of people. And I struggled with that at the beginning, but overall, like, so glad I went, met some great people, had like really eye-opening experiences, I think. Learned a lot. This is going to sound so cheesy. learned a lot about myself, like the way, and I think that came through some of the unhappy times that I learned a lot about. I'm an introvert and I like alone time, but the way I think about, and because of that, I came up with this analogy. when you're thinking about going to the gym, you're like, sometimes if you're like tired, you're like, oh, I'm tired. Like, I don't want to go to the gym. It seems like a lot of effort to like go and do this thing. It's going to be hard. But then once you go, you feel like amazing and you like, sometimes, and you like love, like at least I like actually really like working out and like especially the feeling after, and like you feel like you really did stuff. And that's how I kind of see like hanging out with other people, because I'm an introvert. It seems like this big like point of work for me, this oh, it's gonna be like so much. But then I actually really do enjoy it and it really does make me feel good. And so but it's easy when you're tired to be like, oh, I'm just going to I'm going to take today off and just like hang out by myself. But then you like end up feeling worse. And so I really figured that out about myself. And so I need to like almost, even though I do enjoy alone time, I need to push myself to like not be alone. So I do enjoy other people.
And I think that's the Spanish way. Like if I ever told my host mom that I was eating something like alone or like doing work alone in a cafe, she was like, couldn't even believe that was something that someone did, because you are only eat when you're like with other people. And it's so like, that is their go-to.
It's a very social atmosphere.
I feel like in Spain, I got better at being alone. I'd like just like exploring things, or even just like, it was really nice to just be in public and just be like on my own. Just, I love people watching, first of all, just like observing what's going on around. And like, I used to, for some reason, just feel so self-conscious, just like being in public or like being anywhere by myself, but just being able to like go on a trip or like public transportation or just like sit in a cafe and just.
And I think having so much structure on our program, it was easy to hang out with people. It was almost like that was your default. And I started to realize like I needed more time alone. Like the times I would be like crabby for no reason, I would like take a step back and think like, it's because I've been like considering everybody else's like awareness and like all the spaces we're taking up for too long. So I got better at being like, you know what, I'm gonna go alone to this museum and just like be in my own space. And I think but then coming back, I think I've done a better job of like taking time during the week to be social. Like I always meet Claire on Monday nights at the craft center and only do crafts and chat with people, because that's my time to like not just de-stress and like use people's present to like
For sure. I feel like happiness. The balance is hard to find, but it's an important one for sure.
And I think that's something people figure out in college, because in high school I found that like alone time, well, Aubrey, it might be different for you because you're a quadruplet, but like in high school you get a lot of alone time because you have your own room. You like live in a house where you feel comfortable like being like, I'm gonna go upstairs. But then in college it's just a whole different game. And so I think everyone kind of figures that out in college. We're gonna do a little PSA. I want to find a good one. There's like this whole book of PSAs. There's a really good one about a ladder. Oh, this one's funny. Okay. Food Not Bombs PSA. Food Not Bombs is a loose-knit group of independent collectives serving free vegan and vegetarian food to others. Food Not Bombs recovers and shares free vegan and vegetarian food with the public without restriction in over 1,000 cities around the world to protest war, poverty, and destruction of the environment. Each group is independent and invites everyone to participate in making decisions for their local chapter using the consensus process. Food Not Bombs is dedicated to taking nonviolent direct action to change society so no one is forced to stand in line to eat at a soup kitchen, expressing a commitment to the fact that the food is a right and not a privilege. For more information, visit foodnotbombs.net. A public service message from Food Not Bombs and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Education Radio. So shout out to that organization. Honestly, I have no idea if they're still around. These PSA books are from like the 90s.
Oh yeah, so. You can tell the paper's a little yellow.
Oh yeah.
It's like food. It's like a food rescue. But
yeah, for food vegan. For all. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for free. Yeah, I worked that. Speaking of sustainable agriculture, I have this like dream to, you know, once I have my whole career and I'm, you know, looking for a midlife crisis change, I want to like open a soup kitchen that is really focused on like holistic community involvement. And I'm really interested in incarcerated people re-acclimating to community. And so my dream would be to have a like culinary program through this soup kitchen where maybe we have like an instructor who volunteers, or is like, if we can get a grant and we can pay them and have like a certified program, and they like learn how to cook, but all their practice food and stuff is for this soup kitchen, and they get their hours in, and then after the program they have like a certified stamp of like, I have a skill that then they can like go get a job and reacclimate, and then this like food service is for the community, for people who can't afford it, and it can like connect the previously incarcerated people back into the community, and also got to include like some gardens in there, because food, you got to connect people to earth and kids. I think it'd be a great way to get kids excited about food. So
well, if anyone can do it, you can do it. I would trust you to read anything. Literally, Molly has definitely told me more than once that if I want to like run my own farm, that she'll drop her job and come run.
I will any second.
As soon as I say it,
I'll put on the overalls, put on the boots.
If you don't already have them on, there you go.
If I otherwise don't have them on, it really is. Like I can't even describe how like special or like envisioning it is to like work on a farm and realize that you can, the earth is growing this food eating.
I remember the first time I saw, like my mom didn't really garden growing up. And so the first time that I really saw like a flower turn to a fruit was the summer after my freshman year here. And I worked in a greenhouse, but we got like the produce once it was already.
Which greenhouse was it?
It was in Michigan.
Right.
It was called
Schwartz
Greenhouse. Shout out to that place. So it was after that, because that, like, we end when the flowers sell out, which, like, could be as long as, like, through June or as early as, like, just through May. And so it was probably mid-June when we sold out of all the flowers that had been grown. And so then I just kind of, like, scrapped together some jobs, and I was doing yard work for this, like, crotchety old man. And he loved gardening. And so, like, the first thing I ever saw turn from a flower to a fruit was an eggplant, and I was just, like, I couldn't believe it. It warmed my whole body inside, like, knowing that this could happen and how crazy it was. So I'm excited to, like, just be surrounded by that.
Yeah, it's all the time. Wild. Yeah. I hope you get to see some, like, flourishing, you know, because harvest is, like, September, October. And so maybe some, like, earlier stuff. What does your farm grow?
A lot to learn. I know, like, lots of summer squash type things.
But it's a vegetable farm.
And
for sure.
And fruit. Like our friend Annie Bricker did the same job I did last summer. And like her project was to figure out how like what a blueberry patch needed. And then she like started the first blueberry patch on this farm. So I think I'll have some like freedom to kind of be like, oh, what do people want? And then like figuring out how are we gonna get it to them.
Yeah.
Which would be really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That is just so fun. So you'll be working with this other Tufts student. Do you, like, who else is going to be working on the farm?
The, like, boss of the farm is, her name's Catherine. And she seems incredible. And, like, even during our interview, she was already, like, dispelling all of this knowledge and, like, resources that I should use for my future. So I'm like, that was in the interview. So, like, I can only imagine how the whole summer is going to be. And then they also have this veterans program. And so it's like an apprenticeship program specifically for veterans.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So excited to meet like all of the people doing that. And then we have like farm camps and like cookouts and like various things. But it's a lot of volunteer. I'll be like helping to run all the volunteers who come to the farm. But then these like various apprenticeship programs and then the people who lead the organization.
Nice. Yeah. So my dad is actually... this is a little bit off topic, but speaking of veterans, we have a big VA hospital in Iowa City, connected to like the university hospital. And My dad just started volunteering there and just like talking with veterans who are like admitted into this hospital, and they're starting a whole like recording process of veteran stories.
Oh my
and
goodness.
So yeah, I haven't like talked to him a bunch about that, but yeah, veterans do like a lot for this country, and I hope that this program is like part of helping them come back and stuff.
Me too.
Yeah.
What does your dad do?
My dad's retired.
Cool.
And
my
so,
dad is too.
Heck yeah. And so I think this is what, like him trying to like do kind of meaningful projects. Mm-hmm. And he's also building a boat right now. It's very cool. I'm excited to see it when I go back. But wow. He bought these like pontoon blow up things and like built this wood platform. So it's like a big but like 3 or 4 people can maybe sit on this boat.
Wow.
And he's just like building it.
Wow. Do you have a body of water?
I was gonna ask that.
We have a reservoir.
Okay.
From behind a dam.
Okay.
And yeah, it's like, it like being on it, you could like maybe imagine how that could be a lake.
Okay. Is it swimmable or do you
yes not? Okay. Yeah, so it's swimmable, and then some parts of it is, and then there's like lots of people like tubing and water skiing and stuff like that. So and he put like a little sail, and I don't know if he also put like a motor on it, but yeah, so
that's incredible.
Yeah. But before that, my dad was a lawyer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right, this is getting to the end of our hour. Do you guys have any thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners, all 13 of them?
Like just general?
Yeah, just general, anything you want to be like, I'm Claire and I want you to whatever.
Teach me how to cook.
Teach
okay
me how to cook.
I can personally teach you.
Okay. Aww.
Yeah, we'll cook.
Yeah, I just do things that make you happy and surround yourself with people who love you and don't take time for people who don't give time back to you.
Ooh, I have a question for Aubrey. What are you looking forward to in your 21st year?
Heck yeah.
Ooh. Let's think. I am looking forward to, so it'll be our last year of college, and just like prioritizing the people who like I know will be with me for the rest of my life. Cause I think you definitely like college is a time where you meet the people, like at least a few people who will like, you will continue to be friends forever. And so like kind of figuring out who those people are and then like making sure that we have like, I don't know, just like make sure that we always keep together and keep in contact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is the last Chatting with Molly. It's been a, until next fall. It's been a great run. I really have enjoyed this 12-to-1 time slot. I think it's like so wonderful that I've gotten to bring on so many cool guests. And thanks for being part of the show. And with that, we'll say happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Your goodbyes. memory lane. Yeah, call you my friend on memory lane. Really.